I would like you to please open your Bibles to Romans 7, verse 17 and 18. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that it is me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Amen.
All right, first let's start off with the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that I have the chance to be a tool in your hand. Pray that my heart will be surrendered to you. Give me peace. Give me your Holy Spirit. And may we all come to a great understanding of how far away we are from you and how much we need you and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so my talk today is going to be on the sinner's need of Christ. Think of something perfect for a minute. Maybe it's a flower. I usually think of a baby's bottom when I think of something perfect. But, so that's how we were in the beginning too. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 31. You could look up on the screen if you would like to. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God saw that everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We were made in God's character. We were made in his image. We were perfect in the beginning. But then what happened? We know that we're not all perfect today. So in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 talks about, you know, all the story. Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed God and they took the fruit. And then here in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So what happened? God wasn't running away from them. They ran away from God. Their disobedience disconnected them from... No, I'm going to put that differently. God didn't run away from them. It's like a power cord. Let's look at... here's an example. This is the outlet. This is the power cord. We're plugged into God's love. Now I pull out the power cord. Did God's love go away? No, it's us that's pulling ourselves away from God. And they ran away from God's presence. They did not want to be in his presence at all. You could probably relate to that when you were little, or maybe even now when you're all older. Not old, older. When you do something bad, you want to run away. You don't want anyone to know. That's the same thing that happened here with Adam and Eve. Here's this quote from Steps to Christ. "In his sinless state, man held joyful communion with him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But after his sin, he could no longer find joy in holiness. And he sought to hide from the presence of God. Such is still the condition of the unrenewed heart. It is not in harmony with God and finds no joy in communion with him. The sinner could not be happy in God's presence. He would shrink from the companionship of holy beings." We don't naturally desire God on our own. Our own selfish ways wants us to be the ones that make the change. We want to be the ones to run our own lives. Did you know that if we stayed in our sinful state, that if we went to heaven, heaven would be a state of hell to us because of how much we would dislike being in God's presence? I personally hate it whenever there's someone really like good and nice and I'm like really like God's love. God is perfect, and when we see his perfectness, we see how lowly and terrible we are, I just want to run away. I don't like that feeling of guilt. Or maybe you don't recognize this destructive state. You think that you get by pretty well. You're okay. But that's the exact message that was given to the Laodiceans. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eyesalve, that you may see." So if we recognize it or not, we are all those things that it says in verse 17, by ourselves. It took me a long time to realize that I was all those things. I thought I was pretty good. It took many camps, morning devotions. It took many sermons to listen to till I recognized that I needed Christ and that by myself I was dirt. But there's good news. There's good news about this. You can't fix yourself. That's the good news. You're probably saying, wait, isn't that bad? You can't fix yourself? Am I doomed? Am I going to be like this for the rest of my life? No, it's actually great news. John 3:6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." We are naturally born of the flesh, so we're going to become flesh. The biggest problem that happened wasn't just the death and the pain when I get stabbed or something. That's not sin. Sin did cause that, but that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem happened inside of our hearts. In Steps of Christ, page 17, it says, "Man was originally endowed with noble powers and a well-balanced mind. He was perfect in his being and in harmony with God. His thoughts were pure, his aims holy. But through disobedience, his powers were perverted, and selfishness took the place of love. His nature became so weakened through transgressions that it was impossible for him, in his own strength, to resist the power of evil. He was made captive by Satan and would have remained so forever had not God specially interposed." I was outside having morning devotions one day, and my cat was running through the field earlier, and there were stickers all over her. She was laying there, she was trying to bite them all off by herself, and she wasn't getting anywhere. Spots that she couldn't get, and I had to go over there and help her. And that's the same way how it is with God and our sins. We try to fix things on our own, but it is naturally impossible for us to fix the situation by our own works. Romans 7, 18 and 19, which was a scripture reading, says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Inside, all of us want to be good, but we don't know how. We need a power outside of ourselves to come and change us from the inside out. Steps of Christ, page 18:19 says, "It is impossible for us of ourselves to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless facilities of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. Of ourselves, we are helpless in this situation of sin. I know that from experience. I've tried to fix myself, and it does not work. We must surrender our whole hearts to Christ and be born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God."